Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't remember the first time that I was struck by the reading from Revelation as a curious choice for Reformation Sunday. I don't know if you find it curious either. I mean, the Romans reading makes all kinds of sense. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. You don't have to work too hard to hear the Reformation message in that reading. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. The gospel reading from John? Well, that puts scripture alone right before our eyes. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But Revelation? I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And this angel said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Why is that the reading for Reformation Day? What does a vision of an angel flying overhead with an eternal gospel have to do with the Lutheran Reformation? I'm glad you asked. See, already in Luther's lifetime, people identified the angel in that vision with Martin Luther. When they read Revelation 14, they saw Luther flying overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to every nation. Shortly after Luther famously proclaimed, "Here I stand," a man named Michael Stiefel wrote a poem about Luther. He used these words. He said, "John wrote for us of an angel who would set forth God's word with complete clarity." Now, it gets lost in translation, but the poet actually plays on Luther's name. The German word that he uses for clarity is lauter. So in a poem about Luther, he says, "The angel in Revelation sets forth God's word with complete lauter." And then at the end of Luther's life, 1546, Johannes Bugenhagen made a more direct statement when he was preaching Luther's funeral sermon. He said, "This angel who says, 'Fear God and give him the honor,' this angel was Martin Luther. And what is written here, 'Fear God and give him the honor,' are the two parts of Luther's doctrine. It's the law and the gospel, through which all of Scripture is unlocked, and Christ, our righteousness and our eternal life, is recognized." So apparently, during the Reformation, the angel of Revelation 14 became associated with the man Martin Luther, and that's how the text came to be read on Reformation Day. It's all well and good and maybe interesting history, but maybe the more interesting question is, were they right? To begin to form an answer, I think it's helpful to see how this reading fits within the larger context of the book of Revelation as a whole, especially chapters 12, 13, and 14. In the chapters leading up to our text, John describes an epic end-time battle where powerful enemies will wage war against God's people. The dragon attacks the woman and her child and the rest of her offspring. A beast comes out of the sea, another beast out of the earth. And these beasts intend to deceive the world and to destroy the saints. And it's John's way of depicting a very real battle that had been going on in the church throughout the entire New Testament era. John, as he's writing, and his first Christians who are reading, they were living in this battle. They endured the pain of persecution. They faced intense hostility from both the Roman Empire and from the Jewish synagogue. Both civil and religious forces were lined up against the early Christians. Their very existence was battle. But after seeing the dragon and the beasts, John sees something else. He sees the Lamb. The Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with the Lamb, 144,000. A picture of the church militant, of Christ and his saints in marching formation, ready for battle. And they bear on their foreheads his name. And they're singing a new song of victory. And it's John's way of saying that the church, redeemed by Christ, will endure in spite of persecution. The church will continue to fight against the assault of the dragon and his beasts, and Christ himself will lead the way. And that's where today's reading picks up. I saw another angel, John says, flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth. Now remember that the word angel, the Greek word there, simply means messenger. It can refer to heavenly beings that we usually think of as angels, but it could also refer to any messenger, heavenly or earthly. The angels in the churches at the beginning of Revelation refer to earthly pastors. And so in Revelation, an angel doesn't have to be a six-winged spirit being. It can be also an earthly messenger with a heavenly message. And that's exactly what this angel has. He has a heavenly message, an eternal gospel to proclaim. And the Greek word there translated directly overhead more literally means in mid-heaven, which means right smack dab in the middle of the sky, like the sun shining brightly overhead. It's meant to give us a picture of the sun shining in all its brilliance. And so maybe for us, for people who live in Albuquerque, a better image would be the angel is flying in the rising sun or the setting sun that blinds you on your commute. The point is that the dragon tries to spread darkness across the world, and when it feels like the light is about to be extinguished, our Lord reassures us. The darkness will not win. The light of the gospel will continue to shine. It's the eternal gospel. And God will see it proclaimed to every nation, to every tribe, every language, and to all people. And all the Caesars and the Sanhedrins of John's day, and all the emperors and the popes of Luther's day, and any political beast of the sea or religious beast of the earth, and all the civil and religious powers that try to extinguish the gospel will all fail. The word of God stands forever. And so it's not too hard to see why the reformers saw Luther in this vision. After all, like the Church of John's day, Luther was in a battle. He was in the crosshairs of the dragon. He faced fierce civil and religious opposition, like the two beasts mentioned in Revelation. He was excommunicated by the Pope, declared an outlaw by the state, precisely because he was acting as God's angel, as the messenger of the gospel. But the proclamation of that gospel was everything to Luther. And so in many ways, his refusal to stop preaching the gospel, the church's refusal to stop preaching the gospel in the face of political and religious opposition, that's kind of the whole story of the Reformation. So perhaps the reformers were justified in recognizing a little bit of Luther in the angel of Revelation 14, flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to proclaim to every nation. But here's the reality. It's not just Luther. You see, the angel that who's all those who proclaim the gospel. There were angels in John's day, angels in the early church when Christians were hiding for fear of Nero and hiding from the Roman Empire. The angel in Revelation 14 is all those who stood up for the gospel against the invasion of the Muslim armies, who confessed the truth of Scripture and the Trinitarian Christological heresies of the church. And the angel still flies today. For like John and like Luther, our church lives life in the midst of battle. That's why we call it the church militant. The political beast of the sea and the religious beast of the earth are still attacking the saints. Basic Christian beliefs about sexuality and identity and family are widely viewed as bigoted and hateful. It's a battle. Church attendance is on a steady decline, not only in Lutheran churches, but in all American churches. It's a battle. There's assault on the vocation of father and mother, husband and wife, child and sibling, preacher and hearer. It's a battle. And the dragon and his beasts are relentless. He hits us with a jab to the face with the left hand of the religious beast, and then tries to knock us out with a mighty uppercut from the political beast, the kingdoms of this world. But the comfort that Revelation gives us is the promise that we will not fall, for we do not stand on our own strength. The gospel we proclaim is not our gospel, it's an eternal gospel. And it's for every nation and every tribe and every language and every people, whether they lived in the days of John, whether they lived in the days of Luther, or whether they live today. So no matter what the dragon and his beasts try, we won't stop speaking the truth in love. For all people need what the gospel alone can deliver: the forgiveness of sins, life eternal, and the sure and certain hope of salvation. And that's why we celebrate the Reformation. That's why we remember it. We remember a time when, like the sun shining in mid-heaven in blinding brilliance, the gospel of our Lord broke forth and brought light to the darkness. Like an angel silhouetted against the blinding light, or like Gandalf at the top of the ridge as dawn broke over Helm's Deep, the messenger of God brings hope when all hope seems lost. Yes, it was true of Luther. It was also true of many who came before him and many who came after. We rejoice that it continues to be true of so many today, in our day. So don't be discouraged. Don't be distracted by the huffing and the puffing of the dragon and of his beasts. Your God has not abandoned you. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain. He rose victorious in the fight. And right now, he is the one seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling all things for the good of his church. And his angel is still flying, proclaiming an eternal gospel. And the light of that gospel will continue to shine brilliantly. For the same Lord who raised up apostles and reformers continues to raise up messengers for his church to bring the comfort of his gospel to you, his people. May he sustain us in that message until the day of Christ's return. Amen.